Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Yeah. Megan, welcome back. You were just in L.A. for like 3 or 4 days. For what event?
The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Season 9 reunion.
Oh, my God.
As fans know, we released the seating chart on BravoTV.com. Lisa Vanderpump was missing in action.
A no-show.
It was shocking, to say the least, but also not. Like, I think that there was a lot of speculation. I really did think ultimately she would show up.
I did too.
Didn't. And I talked a lot to the ladies about it backstage before they went on. The show itself was amazing, and I don't feel like Lisa's absence will have any sort of impact on the entertainment fans will get.
That's good to know. Do you think there was almost a sense of relief from the ladies that she wasn't there, or?
I feel like the opposite. I think they were on edge thinking she would show up at any moment.
Right. That's true. That probably was like even worse than her actually showing up.
Yeah.
And who was your best dressed?
It's controversial,
yep.
But I'm going to say Dorit. First of all, I've always loved Dorit's style, but like I really liked her reunion look.
What else happened that you can tell us that was maybe shocking or interesting?
Okay, there were a lot of tears from one person in particular. I can't say who, but it was a shocking amount of emotion.
Interesting.
On a separate note, Denise Richards really held her own.
Did she?
Yes.
Good for her.
And it was so cute because, you know, season one, Housewife, it's her first reunion. So when Andy would touch on something, he would then move on and be like, we'll get into it later. And she was like, wait, is that all we're going to say about that? And all the ladies were like, oh, honey, like yeah. Just.
We move through topics quickly here.
But also, like, you have another 8 hours to go here.
Right. So wait. Sit back yeah. and relax, girl. Was there a walk-off? Oh, that silence speaks volumes. Okay, I can't wait. I'm super excited. Well, I have a couple ideas as to who it could be. And one piece of supporting evidence I have here is a tweet from Camille that she sent after attending the reunion. And it was, I showed up in good faith for RHOBH reunion, but I shouldn't have gone. Hindsight is 20/20. Very cryptic messages from Camille.
That's kind of saying a lot that I would rather have not attended.
Right. Yeah.
But like.
Pretty much. But we know she did. Okay. Well, thank you so much for that update.
No problem.
So we are going to be talking about this week's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills today, Real Housewives of New York City, Southern Charm, and of course, Below Deck Med because it's back.
Yes, and then we have interviews with Craig Conover from Southern Charm and Colin Macy O'Toole from Below Deck Med.
Colin Macy O'Toole.
Thank you. Yes, that's good.
And of course, we're going to end it, as always, with Rose and Thorn.
Okay, so Real Housewives of New York, the aftermath of Sonia's epic fall in Miami.
I want us to stay in Miami forever. These episodes are just golden, Roni brilliance.
It's so good. I mean, it's like you cannot write the fact that as the ambulances are pulling up, Ramona and Tinsley are like, oh, that looks bad. Okay, bye.
I gotta go.
And Sonia just magically getting these really hot paramedics and thinking Bill Clinton is the president.
Clinton? That was my favorite. I love that.
Oh, that Trump guy.
But you know what? She woke up the next morning looking like completely refreshed. Like, I don't wake up looking like that when I'm hungover, so I don't know how she did that.
Do you think they gave her something? Like, because you know how sometimes they can hook you up to an IV and it...
They might have, but it also might have been, like, early enough in the night that she
That's
just,
true.
Like, she was out and done by, like, 9:30 for all we know, so then she probably got a significant amount of sleep and maybe hydrated or whatever, but she woke up. She woke up... She woke up looking fresh, and right. I appreciate that about Sonia. And then she actually did decide to attend the AA meeting with Luann, which everyone staged like kind of a weird little intervention that morning.
Which I'm really not okay with, to be honest.
That they forced her to attend?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because isn't the whole thing like it someone needs to be able to admit to themselves. Like, I actually think Sonia, yes, went crazy. I don't know that that necessarily means she has a problem.
Right.
But that's not for them to say, nope, you do. You need to go to a meeting. Like, it didn't do anything in the end.
Well, yeah. And she agreed to go, which I appreciated, like I said. But she had some hesitation. And it's also sort of like she mentioned that she's been to them before. She's like, this isn't my first time going to a meeting. Like, I have been with people. I know what it's like. I don't really want to go. I don't really like it. But okay, if everyone's requesting this, Luann, who's in recovery, is requesting this, I'm going to go. I'm going to do the right thing. And she did. And then we saw the real aftermath of how it affected her. And I don't blame her for one second.
Yeah. I guess it also bothers me because have you not had a crazy night drinking where maybe, like, you just got too much?
Me? Never.
So can you imagine waking up the next day, like, thinking to yourself, I had fun last night, and then being like, you have a problem,
right,
Eric.
Like, I know.
That's just a lot.
Yeah. And then I think for someone like Sonia, she said, like, when she goes to those meetings and she hears all of those stories, she really takes that on. And I've been told by, like, mediums and psychics before that I'm an empath and I often absorb, like, other people's emotions. And I think Sonia is the same way.
HSP, highly sensitive person.
There you go. See, I mean, that's how I feel like I would. I've never been to an AA meeting, but I feel like I would react in a similar way to Sonia. Like, I would leave and not be able to leave behind what I heard. And I would kind of take it with me for the rest of the day. And then we saw her get to the pool and it was the water and the cabana, like, and then all of a sudden it just, she broke down. And Luann was very busy being like, I'm going to go to the beach. Does anyone want to go to the beach?
Who, this is like,
I don't know who did
it. Look,
honey.
It's wet everywhere.
I know.
Water. Just came from a meeting. We're
look at
surrounded
this,
by
this,
alcohol.
Bethany.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Come over here. Come over here.
Whatever. You're seeing it in the cabana. Okay, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right.
Yeah. I mean, but it in a way goes to show that it works for Luann because she looked light as a feather after that meeting. She's like, ah, oh, dip in the pool, da 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 da.
Like, it's true. But to Sonia's point, she was like, you like Luann. Doing that. Like, you like going up on stage. You like talking about people. We see then Sonia walk away from the situation. They all go home and eat together. And everyone else really recognizes that Sonia is upset. And they all take that opportunity to leave the place, go back home, whatever. And then I had to point out the peak Luann moment that really I think represents how she's behaved all season. And it's when she's standing outside the venue looking at her own poster. And she's just like, oh, wow.
That
Luann
was so cringeworthy. Like, I couldn't watch that moment. Like, that was hard for me to watch.
And then the random fan being like, oh, can you take a picture for me? And the girl was like, okay. Like, come on.
It was a lot.
Excuse me, would you take a picture for me?
Of course.
Thank you. Oh, my God, this is so exciting.
What did you think about Tinsley going out on that date with that older gentleman?
I mean, good for her.
Yeah.
Anything to move on from Scott is right. How I feel.
And I love that Ramona was like, what do you mean Tinsley's out on a date? I could have gone out on a date. It's like, Ramona, you always go out on a date.
And like, stop. Let Tinsley live. Like, she needs this. Relax.
All season, everyone's been on her ass about the Scott situation. So the second she goes out on a date, let her do it.
Yeah. And just Ramona's like, no, I could call him if I want. I could text him if I want.
Right.
It's not okay, Ramona.
No, it's not always about you, Ramona.
So my favorite moment of the Real Housewives of New York City after show on BravoTV.com this week was Tinsley talking about how Ramona called dibs on Brett. And Dale's like, who's Brett? Here's that clip.
How annoyed were you when Ramona tried to claim Brett for herself in Miami?
Who's Brett?
You know Tinsley? Hi, Tinsley. Hi,
I met this guy at the party. Actually, it was a guy that Bethany had known and had brought to the party.
I was set up on a date with Brett, and I liked him. He was very, very nice. He's fun.
And he was, like, he was really cute, and he's older. He has children. It's, like, really a good place for me to go. An
solid
older man
guy.
With some kids. That's great. They have empathy, and that's a good thing.
Called you again?
Yes, I saw him in Miami, actually, recently.
Oh.
Yes, just a day, lunch.
Oh.
He actually gave me some really good advice about dating. We're friends.
You know that guy I didn't get a chance to meet? Show me a picture. He's like my type, that guy, Brian something.
No, Benzo. Brett.
Okay,
Brett.
We're not doing Brett this. Brett texted me today.
off limits, woman.
Why does Ramona think she always has first dibs when it comes to guys?
Ramona thinks she has first dibs when it comes to everything, including a buffet.
Right, right.
I mean,
right.
You can't even get behind, you can't even get in front of her at a buffet table.
No. First of all, I mean, I don't know, Ramona had her ex-husband at the party, a date already. And then she's also gonna try to go after this guy. Like, finally, you know, like, I have not had any dates at this point, like, with anybody after Scott and I broke up. And this was just a nice thing, like, you know, just sort of play around, have, like, a, you know, a little fun, drink with somebody.
I think it's because innately she feels like she has more dating, coquette,
practice,
flirting skills than anybody. Than
right.
anybody.
She just deserves
that. That's where she feels her, and nothing against her. She feels her confidence. She yes. knows she is a little...
Yeah.
Well, devil. You know, she's cute.
I mean, typical Ramona trying to, you know, not only was Ramona actually trying to get him, Luann was too. And actually, I saw Luann after I chatted him up and he got my number and everything. And I was like, okay, good, whatever. Then I saw Luann over there, like, really doing, you know, her little moves and stuff on him. And I was like,
I don't know why Ramona thinks she has first dibs on guys because she has bigger boobs.
I did appreciate how those drinks resulted in a very drunk Tinsley showing up to the dinner at the end of the episode.
Right. Yeah. there was like maybe a little slurring.
Yeah. Which then triggered...
Luann.
It triggered Luann, but then it triggered the reaction from Bethany. And
yeah.
she said it in her interview. She was like, just the way that Luann...
reprimanded.
Yeah, and was treating Tinsley in that moment just made her snap. And we really saw Bethany
lose it.
And you never stood up for her.
She I never watched actually... what?
Oh!
Oh, really?
Wow.
I didn't understand what you said.
Luann.
No, I just didn't understand.
Yeah, I'm drinking Luann.
But can we really blame her?
No. Exactly. I mean, she looked like what it feels like for me to have a panic attack.
Yeah.
So that was interesting to watch.
Yeah. Well, you guys will hear in a couple of weeks, we had an interview with Dorinda right around the time that this episode was airing. And we talked a little bit about that dinner. And Dorinda kind of said, you know, Bethany basically said what was on everyone's mind. And it's just the way that Luann's been reacting to everyone and just been acting in general. But we also really saw, I think Bethany was holding so much pent up emotions because of Dennis still. Like, this is still very close to when Dennis passed away.
Well, and it's like you see her connecting the dots as she's saying it. I was with you all summer. I was taking care of your issues. Dennis died of a drug overdose, and I wasn't with him, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's a very heavy thing to be carrying around, even in your subconscious, and then for it to come out like that.
Right.
Look at me. Look at you. You never checked in on Dennis. Not once.
No,
you never asked about Dennis. You never asked.
I did.
You never asked about Dennis.
Of course I did.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Every day it's about you. Every f***ing day it's about you.
It is.
I know we're going to see some more aftermath of that fight in next week's episode. So Luann's got some, as Lisa Rinna would say, owning it to do.
Yeah.
Let's go below deck.
Oh, God.
Okay, so I get very stressed out on Below Deck Med, Below Deck, whenever they have to take the guests off the boat.
I know, the packing of the food.
It's so much to think about
Such
and coordinate.
Deal.
It's just, there are so many factors. It's just like, I like when the guests are just contained on the boat because
right.
there's like very little that can really go wrong from that.
Right. I just love that people, like three people are saying, all I taste in your cake is baking powder. And she's like, no, I don't think so. And they're like, no, I'm telling you.
Like, everyone was like, I can only taste baking powder now.
I think I just bit into some baking powder.
It's got a strong baking powder aftertaste.
Gross. I wanted to ask, now that we've gotten to know the new crew members a little bit since, you know, the first episode, now the second episode, wanted to play a little game called Kill, Fuck, Marry.
Okay. Oh, and like you're the first one to ever suggest that.
It's a new game that I just invented right here just now. And it is Jack, Joao, and Colin.
Mm.
I could have included Travis in that because I do think he's adorable. But given we interviewed Colin, we've had some time with Joao, and Jack is really, to me, made a splash already with that hair.
The accent.
And the accent.
F Jack, for sure.
Okay.
Mary Colin.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, Joao.
Sorry, Joao. Okay, interesting.
What was yours?
Well, I feel like mine would be... I think mine would be probably fuck Jack, kill Joao, marry Colin.
Okay,
yeah,
you're right. That's the right choice.
Because I was kind of thinking Joao, like, but I'm like, long term, I don't see that working. Like, I can see Colin just like, he's going to just be running that Fire Island ferry and just living a nice, stable life.
He'd be a good dad.
Yeah.
Joao, like, he's still figuring life out. He's still hooked on Brooke. So that's, I can't marry that.
Right.
That's true.
Well, speaking of the moment when, you know, everything went wrong with Chef Mila's meal with the cake and all of that, what I really appreciated is the way that, like, Captain Sandy and then Anastasia, like, stepped up. And, like, Captain Sandy was in there, like, slicing some ham to make prosciutto.
We don't give up. You want the ham? We're going to get the ham.
Anastasia was like, I was a chef on my last boat. Like, let me come through and make some cakes for you guys. Like, it's all good. I just appreciated that sort of, like, teamwork.
I appreciated it, but also felt like that's maybe when Captain Sandy should have been like, but this isn't their job.
Yeah, like something is wrong here.
Right.
Well, I think we're going to see next week's episode, another meal goes dramatically wrong. So I think Captain Sandy is kind of clued in that, is this woman all that she's talked about being? Like, is her resume real? Something is amiss here.
Right.
Obviously, the biggest part of this episode, I'm going to save for the end.
Oh, is it your rose?
It is my thorn. Okay. Let me tell you. We also talked to Colin Macy O'Toole, which you have to say with an Irish accent, I feel like. He's back for a second season of Below Deck Med, and he talked to us about his bromance with Joao. Plus, he played a game of Perfect Partner, but, and you are going to love his answers. So here's that interview.
We're here with Colin Macy O'Toole.
Hi,
from
everybody.
Below Deck Med. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Like, I want to put on an Irish accent when I say your last name.
You should. You should.
All right. Were you so excited to get invited back for another season?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think Sandy really appreciated my work ethic last year. And also with all the dramas that happen on the boat, I think it's nice to have maybe a little comic relief, you know, because I'm not a very dramatic person. I keep things bubbly and just make fun of people the whole time. And if that puts a smile on people's faces, then I'm all for it. So hopefully Sandy saw that in me, and I was really appreciative about it.
Yeah, I think it was like your freestyle game that probably won her over.
No. If that was the case, I would have been fired way long ago.
What about your bromance with Joao? Do you think that helped?
It definitely helped, especially coming back and knowing that he was my bosun. I felt very comfortable. You know, I don't really consider myself a true yachty. You know, everybody on the boat, they have so much experience. Last year was my first boat. But like knowing that he was my bosun, and I felt so comfortable going up to him and asking for any help or, and you know, any things that I need a refresher on, you know, from the previous season. So, no, it was a great scenario for me to be in, and they made me feel like home.
Do you feel like you took anything away from last season that, like, sort of influenced how you came into this one?
You know, I just go into it. I've never been to Europe before, so I know we're working our asses off 24/7, essentially. I've never been to France. I've never been to Italy, you know, previous to last year. So I just really try and just take in the moment, you know, have fun. I'm meeting some interesting people. You know, I'm from Long Island, so we don't really get a lot of people from New Zealand or Australia. So it's nice to work with different crews from all over the world and their background stories. So, you know, it's all a learning experience, and I loved every minute of it.
I have to be honest. There were ladies in the office that were very excited you were coming.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That means a lot.
So are you dating anyone?
I'm dating, you know, all trying to anyway. You know, it's hard. I'm also, it's hard for me. I'm a little picky, you know, which is, it's on me, but, No, I mean, I don't mind. I go out with everybody. You know, I love learning. Not everybody. No, don't. Oh. No,
we
not
have
like
the
that.
Exclusive.
No, not like that.
Did you hear that, lady? Slide into his DMs.
No, that's not what I meant. I'm like, you know, I love getting to know people. You know, to be honest, it is a little bit harder actually now because of the show.
In what way?
Unfortunately, you know, I get people. I've been on dates where they ask me for Watch What Happens Live tickets.
Mm.
You know, and that's like the first question they ask me. So like, I mentally check out. You know,
right.
So stuff like that. It's been difficult, but you know, hopefully, you know, that doesn't happen one day.
We have a game that we like to play in the office, and it's called Perfect Partner But. So it's all hypotheticals that you meet the girl of your dreams.
Yeah, think of like your celebrity crush. That's what they look like.
Sure.
They have like all the money in the world. Like everything about them is perfect.
Right.
But.
So the first one is she's allergic to salt water.
Allergic to salt water. I would be okay with that.
Okay.
You know, I'm not like, you know, being Irish, I'm not really the darkest person out there. So, you know, if. You know, that means less trips to the beach. I would be okay with that.
Okay.
Perfect partner, but she's a Phillies fan.
No.
No,
no you're done. You're done.
Wow.
Yeah, we know where the line is.
Any Philly, Boston, D.C. area, no. That's a no for me.
Okay, right. Perfect partner, but she doesn't enjoy traveling.
She doesn't enjoy traveling. I'm going to have to say no. Mm-hmm. That's hard. You know, I still think I'm a little bit young to still, you know, be able to travel around the world. So if they can't do that, that would be a no for me.
Okay. Perfect partner, but she doesn't ever want to visit Long Island.
I mean, come on. That's a no. Come on. I can't date someone that, you know, my parents, if anything, they would be more upset about that than me. So, yeah, no, that's a no for me. Sorry.
All right. This is good. We'll go back to the ladies that asked about you. We'll whittle it down for you.
So being a New York guy, what is your favorite pizza spot in the city? Or Long Island. It could be.
Well, it depends, because every time, most of the time I go into Penn Station, so I'll always love a drunk slice of Roses, you know, in Penn Station there.
Yeah.
I'll trust me. Anything that's not like Sbarro, you know, there's always, I don't get why tourists still do that. Like, they, I guess, never heard of it before and they just go into Sbarro. It's like if I went to Maine and went to Red Lobster, you know, like that's not a thing. So, Roses is good. You know, but most of the time it's usually to absorb some of the poisons in my body.
Right. Those toxins.
Well, on the subject of food, you know, Chef Mila's cooking, like it was talked about a lot in season 1, but then we saw the nachos.
Yeah. You know, she went to, I believe the school's called Cordon Bleu, I believe it's called. It's a high-end French culinary school. You know, if people want Mexican food, I believe they say they wanted Mexican food on the preference sheet, which is great. But, you know, just making tacos and nachos, it's a little boring. If you have that creative juice, you know, do like a reconstructed enchilada or, you know, try and make it somewhat. You don't just serve tacos on a plate. You know, I think you want to make it a little, you know, you don't want them to eat something that they can have at home. That's how, we want to picture it.
Well, Megan's big issue with it, being from Texas, was that she didn't put cheese on the nachos.
Well, that's another thing. You're probably not taught how to make nachos in like a high end school like that. I'm assuming, but you have to
know.
But
are you a human?
Yeah, you have to. You have to. Yeah, exactly. You have to know that you have to put cheese on your nachos.
Yeah. So you oversee the Fire Island ferries, right?
Correct.
So it has to get a little crazy over the summer.
Summers are a good time. You know, working or not working, I have stories for days.
Tell us at least one.
Yeah.
None of them are appropriate.
It's okay.
We'll bleep it out. It's fine.
All right. Well, I'll have this one. So I was running a boat, you know, we have the Saturday night, late night drunk ferry, to Cherry Grove and Fire Island Pines. And, I had a new deckhand. He was like 15, 16, still in high school. And a passenger comes up to me in the wheelhouse and says, "Oh, there's people smoking on the top, in the back of the boat." So, there's no smoking on the ferry. So I told the deckhand to get a flashlight and to go back there and check it out. And so he goes back there and he sees two guys
smoking something that wasn't a cigarette?
Yeah, we'll put it that way. And yeah, he was kind of scarred for life since then. So yeah, it's you know, Fire Island, it gets crazy.
No smoking, you guys.
Can't smoke each other. No.
Well, so if fans want to see you, let's say, they can find you on Fire Island.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I'm in a small town called Sable, Long Island. It's on the South Shore. So, you know, I love both worlds. You know, I think the people at the Pines and Grove, they know me because I've been there for like 15 years. You know, so so I always have fun with them. But you know, it's nice to, you know, get away and just try new other communities that I've never been before. But yeah, the summer, most weekends, yeah, you'll probably see me over there.
Good to know. We wanted to play another game with you, and it's called Walk the Plank.
Uh-oh.
So basically, we're going to give you two options, and one you get to keep, and the other has to walk the plank.
Okay, great.
Okay. So, nights out after the charter guests leave, or your blow dryer.
Wow. Wow, that's a good one. I'd probably have to pick the blow dryer.
Because you can't have a night out without the blow dryer, right?
Well, yeah, I can't go out looking like a slob. Plus, I'm you know, I'm getting up there a little bit in age. I can't party like I used to back in the day. So, yeah, I guess I'll take my blow dryer.
Okay, fair.
All right.
That was a good question.
Playing music, and this also includes singing, or drinking beer?
I have to do music. I'd have to. I can't go without having music.
All right.
If that means no beer, that's hard. That's a good one too. But I would have to make that work.
Okay.
Trips to the Mets game or trips to Fire Island?
Oh, that's easy. Fire Island. I'd pick Fire Island any day. The Mets are terrible.
Okay, fair.
Jack's hair or Joao's hair?
Oh, Jack's hair. Jack's hair. No offense to Joao. Joao, I'm sorry. But no, Jack has great flow. He's got great lettuce. You know, Joao, you know, he's getting there. You know, it's a little spiky, but you know, no, Jack has great head.
So to wrap up, would you be able to perform a little bit of the rap that you wrote for the new season of Below Deck Mad?
I'm trying to do this from earlier. Tune in season 4. It's going to be crazy. You better not forget. You better not be lazy.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Nice.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in.
No, thank you for having me. Yeah, I had a lot of fun. Thank you so much, guys.
Well, so then let's get into Southern Charm.
Southern Charm.
I feel like we need to discuss Craig's guyliner.
Absolutely.
Because I thought of you the whole time.
I thought of me too.
Because when we were guest bartending on Watch What Happens Live, Eric was like, you know, I probably need like a little something.
Yeah.
So Sarah, our producer, put some eyeliner on.
I tried to do it myself. Do you remember when we were here at the office? And I was like trying to do it and just like couldn't steady. I was like, where does it go? Like, I can't. So thank you, Sarah. When she showed up, she saved my life. But I definitely thought of me, too.
But like, Craig, you liked the way you looked in it.
Yeah.
It made your eyes pop.
I guess it's one thing to be like, I'm going on camera, like, you know, Watch What Happens Live, the lights in the studio, that I definitely needed. And a lot of my friends actually, when we were on that episode, texted me being like, you look great, can definitely tell you have guyliner on. And I was like, oh man, is it that obvious? But like, and then when I looked back at some of the pictures, I was like, all right, yeah, you can kind of see it a little bit, but it still looks better on camera than it would. Like Craig, I mean, all the power to him to wear guyliner, but like, what was the inspiration for that particular party?
Yeah,
you know what? Let him express himself.
Yeah.
Do you want a makeup wipe?
No, I wore it today for fun. Tried something new.
Yeah, Craig loves wearing makeup.
I think I look cool wearing eyeliner, and I think girls like it.
What did you think about learning that Austin's parents
saw the video? Okay, well, Kathy Hilton said that she watched Paris Hilton's sex tape when it came out.
I didn't even watch Paris Hilton's sex tape.
You didn't?
No.
I bought it.
You bought it?
I did.
Who profited off of that, though? What's his name? Rick? What was his name?
Right. Rick Solomon.
Yeah.
But I think Paris also got a cut.
She probably did. She's a businesswoman.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Kathy's in an interview, because I, by the way, love Paris Hilton.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, especially in the early aughts, like, I would read everything about her. And Kathy Hilton said, like, I needed to know what we were up against. Like, I needed to know everything.
It's a very Kris Jenner move.
And Kris Jenner, I think, did the same thing with Kip. So, anyway. So, yeah, I guess it doesn't totally surprise me that Austin's parents watched.
I guess we don't exactly know what the full video entails. All the clips that we keep seeing on the show are just like Madison walking by the camera and Austin coming out of the room, but
that's what it is.
There isn't any more to that, right?
No, you're not seeing anything that happens like in the bedroom.
Anything graphic.
No.
But still, can you imagine just being Austin and just knowing not only is it out there in the public, but it's just like it's one of those things you don't want your parents to see.
My parents have seen the video and it was the first time that I've seen actual disappointment in their faces, and it broke my heart.
So, Catherine and Danny, what do you think of that whole thing?
You know, I wrote down in my notes when I was watching, like, their final sort of spat at the house party at the end of the episode, that it seems like Danny is trying really hard to be the protector in the relationship, and it seems like Catherine, for whatever reason, like, doesn't want that protection. And I can see it a little bit from both sides, because I think Catherine right now is really going through this struggle of trying to be a very independent woman, you know, with the house and the car that she's buying and all of that. She's really kind of exploring that part of her identity. But Danny knows how risky that can be for someone like Catherine. So she's trying to be the protector. And I feel like when that happens in a friendship, it does kind of go a little bit off balance. So I feel like they're just not able to communicate properly because there is that imbalance there.
Mm.
Do you think?
Yeah, no, that totally resonates. I also just think, like, it was kind of eye-opening how Catherine was like, and I've been a good friend to you, Danny. And Danny's like, when?
Yeah, like, I don't remember that.
Yeah, like, in this relationship, you're not the one taking care of me ever.
Yeah.
Which, who knows? Like, we don't see everything.
But we don't see everything, but I think right after that moment, we saw sort of a bit of a montage of moments that Danny has really stepped up and been there for Catherine, and I don't think we have really seen as many of those moments, so it might be a little kind of reflective of how their relationship is.
I just thought Catherine was really harsh to Danny.
Yeah, especially at the end, just the attitude that she had towards her, and like, maybe there is a time and a place, and it seems like bringing up the situation when they were on the girls' trip and then bringing it up at this house. Like, maybe Danny isn't picking the right moments to have the conversation with her, but also then maybe Catherine's not giving her the time of day anywhere else.
Earth to Catherine.
Yes,
would
I'm
you
not
like to
even
chat?
Going here. No, I'm good.
There was nothing
no
negative
bad
being said.
I didn't hear anything.
But you're upset about something.
You didn't. I'm actually not upset.
Well, why'd you just storm through
I didn't storm through. I just walked by to come sit with the guys.
Catherine, if you can't, like, have a mature conversation with us,
I'm not
then don't sit here and be fake as sh**.
I'm a ghost.
What's wrong? I thought you guys were friends.
Where else to have that conversation but a pillow party?
Exactly. You can get into, like, a really aggressive pillow fight, but, like, no one will get hurt.
Right. So, as you know, I interviewed Craig Conover. I love him so much. He didn't have much of a voice that day, but he still had a lot to say about what he thinks will happen at the Southern Charm reunion. It's going to be crazy. Here's that interview.
Do you want me to do Colin?
Yeah. So, Craig, thank you for being on the podcast. You were just explaining why your voice is a little raspy.
Of course.
Just for anyone out there. No, you weren't partying late last night.
Not last night, but I was in Costa Rica for 4 days prior to this. And then it seems like every week when it starts to come back, then something comes up again and it goes away. So we'll see.
Yeah.
This just might be my new voice. I don't know.
Into it.
Yes.
So I had interviewed Cameron and Austin right before the season started, and they told me how you're spending a majority of your time in the Bahamas now.
Yeah. I was fortunate enough to find a really great kind of gig down there, like set up, and I fell in love with it. And, you know, when we don't have anything going on up here, I was able to work on the business from down there remotely, and don't know, it's kind of my happy place. I'm healthier down there, and just it's a fun life. I mean, it's the Bahamas, but yes, it was it's really nice. So that's kind of my new favorite, you know, happy place. And I try and get down there, you know, a few weeks every other month.
If it weren't for the show, do you think you might move there permanently?
If it wasn't for the show, I don't think I could live in the Bahamas. But, I when we're not doing stuff with the show, I am spending the majority of my time down there. But my home base is still Charleston. That's where my main house is. And I recently, I think I took ship down there like a month and a half ago or 2 months. And I was like, all right, it's time to spend few months at the house and doing some more renovations and doing a lot of hands-on stuff with the company now, like site visits and special raffle stuff and some charity stuff. So it's good to be home for a few months, and then maybe in July I'll go back for the month, who knows.
Yeah, the show had such an explosive season last season. Were you at all worried that you guys wouldn't be able to top it this time around?
I mean, it's not, I wouldn't use the word worry, but it would be like if you were betting, you know, if you're a gambling person, I don't know how you do top something like that, but something always seems to happen. And it's remarkable how, I don't know, this group of friends, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I guess it's a good thing for entertainment, but something, I mean, you just can't fathom that anything would be crazier than last year, and yet it is. And I think this will be one of our, I think it'll be our best season yet. And I just, I don't know the right word. I guess it's just, Shep and I find ourselves shaking our heads every week when something happens, and we're just like, how does this stuff continue to happen? But I guess everyone's batshit crazy, and that's what happens when, you know, in Charleston. It's a small knit, you know, community, and something always seems to happen.
Well, and the drama always centers on romantic relationships with this show, and this season it's Austin and Madison.
Yeah, definitely. They definitely take the forefront. At first it was, you know, Catherine and Thomas a lot of it, and then, you know, Naomi and I had our carousel of antics, and then now it's Madison and Austin, and they definitely take center stage this year.
Well, so I watched the moment when you and Shep are talking to Austin, and you're telling him how Madison had messaged Danny's boyfriend. How much of that do you remember? It seems like you were all, like, you know, nicely lit.
I mean, look, we were because I don't like being in that situation. I mean, no one likes having to be the person that tells their buddy that their girlfriend's cheating on them. And, I haven't been, well, that's not true. I have been in that situation recently a few times. I haven't been the one that had to tell the person, but, you know, I've been there when it happens. And being cheated on is horrible. I mean, it sucks. It's one of the worst things I think you can do to someone. And, you know, Shep and I are not in a situation to be cheated on right now. And for us to have to deal with this is, we just knew it wasn't going to be easy to tell him. And we had a few drinks before he got there. But at the end of the day, you know, if you're a good friend of someone, you have to tell them. So the easy way out would have just been to ignore it. But, you know, we do have some decency, you know, amongst us, and he needed to know.
Well, I think often in life, when you tell a friend, hey, your significant other is doing this thing, but then they end up staying together, the friend kind of gets thrown under the bus.
Oh, yeah. We definitely, I mean, I think we knew he was going to blame us and lash out at us. And, you know, and there's so much happens this season that it's just this massive snowball that never seems to end. And you'll see that, you know, certain people try and find any excuse and all excuses possible than to really confront what's going on. And it really puts, you know, Shep and I, kind of pins us against, you know, a few people, you know, in our friend group. So last reunion when me, Austin, and Shep went to the, I guess it was the U.S. Open in Montauk or something in the Hamptons. And he spent the entire time arguing and fighting with her on the phone. And that's when we started to be like, dude, this isn't healthy. This is exhausting. And it's still going on. And you'll see that, you know, a few of us just get fed up with it. And Shep kind of freaks out. But it's going to be a hell of a reunion, though. I actually saw Cameron yesterday and we were talking about that. And we were like, this is by far going to be the craziest, scariest, like nuttiest reunion ever, which is crazy because we've had
some crazy ones. Yeah,
exactly. And this is going to top them, definitely.
Are we going to see any of your dating life this season?
You know, I not really this season. It was a time where, you know, I spent a lot of time in the Bahamas finding myself. And when I came back, I was learning how to, I was reacclimating to Charleston and being myself in Charleston again and being single again. And by the time, you know, we finished filming, you know, in January, that was right about the time that I started to really hang out with new people and everything. So we missed it a little bit, but I think as we continue on, and the show goes on, you'll definitely see a lot of it with both Shep and I moving forward.
Well, what happened to Austin regarding this secret, this girl taping him, and it, you know, sort of playing into the beginning of the season? That has to scare you, I'm sure. Like, that people recognize you, know who you are, and...
I mean, I'm not a shitty person. Like, I don't do bad stuff. So, I mean, yes, you and... I mean, I did an interview with Catherine, and like I said, what's stressful, well, you know, and I wouldn't change anything, you know, if I had the chance to. I'm very happy with everything. But the stress that comes with it is even if a professional camera's not on you, there's always a camera on you, no matter what. And, you know, as much as you can get used to people staring at you and talking about you no matter where you go, I mean, it is a little exhausting when you can't, you just always have to have, it's not your guard, but you just really can't be, you know, completely free. And I remember being in Montreal and I realized, I guess the show wasn't up there at the time. And I realized no one knew who I was after like 5 minutes walking through the airport. And it was just kind of a relaxed feeling. But I definitely am a different person when I'm out at the bar and a club and in public than I am at like a house party with my friends. Yeah, there's some people on our cast that, knock on wood, I wouldn't want anything bad to ever happen to them, but I have no idea how nothing more has happened other than this video with Austin. But, yeah, I think it's pretty shitty on anyone's part. I don't know if it's going to come out this season on who actually set the camera up, but I think the viewers will be very shocked. There's so much at the reunion that's going to come up.
Catherine is also kind of going through it right now in the season where I feel like people are questioning her lifestyle choices and whether it's how much she's, you know, spending on rent to like who she's dating. How, do you feel at all like she's backsliding into old Catherine?
No, I don't. I think she's doing great. I moved down to the Bahamas and got a place down there. You know, and still made it work. And she, you know, I don't think she's making the most, you know, responsible money choices. But at the end, you know, with the car, with the car she was looking at, I mean, that's when you get, you know, when money doesn't matter anymore. You know, we all got new cars and stuff. But that was a little silly. And I talked to her about it and she backed out of the deal. But the house was a little silly too. But, you know, I think she's just excited to be sober and on her own and, you know, she's happy and that's kind of all that matters. I think she's used as a scapegoat for other people to deflect stuff onto her, which is, you know, bullcrap in my opinion. I think it's, you know, people don't want to talk about their own lives, so they find an easy target and go after her. But I think she's doing a lot better than, you know, some of the other girls in our group.
Yeah. Are... I feel like we haven't really seen you and Naomi interact much this season yet. Will we see more of that?
I think towards the, you know, we're civil and everything. I think towards the end of the season, we have a couple conversations, but, you know, that's just a past chapter in both of our lives, and we learned a lot, and I don't think either of us regret it happening, but, you know, we've both, you know, wish each other the best, and we're happy it happened, and, you know, it's just, it was a long time ago, and we're both in, you know, better places, so, yeah, I don't think we, last year was our, you know, our, you know, fresh wound season, but this year we, you know, it's been a long time, so.
Yeah. Well, what can you tell listeners about the rest of the season?
It's just different. It's a different dynamic. You know, we, you know, without Thomas, you know, I kind of didn't know what was going to happen, but what basically, you know, the lightning, you know, he was a lightning rod, but a lot of us are, the lightning just found a different path, and it just brings out the focus in a lot of other people on the show and a lot of other kind of relationship dynamics. And, you know, Shep and I are kind of on the same team for once when we're watching all the crazy antics go on around us. And it's just different. I mean, I it's just as wild and crazy, but this year I think everyone will be able to relate to.
Yeah. I'm always interested about kind of the way the show affects you guys. Like, you have a certain level of fame, and we're in season 6 now. Who do you feel like has changed the most?
I think you guys, I mean, some people have changed. Some people are completely different, opposite, like completely different people than who they were when they first started the show. But none of the OGs are still themselves. That's why, because when the show started, we wanted nothing to do with it. We were just ourselves, and, you know, we just decided to all do it together. But there was no trying to be on TV, so none of the original cast has changed that I've seen. I mean, Catherine's grown up, which is great. We've all kind of matured and gone through ups and downs, but we're all the same person we were. But
well, so then who of the non-OGs changed the most?
I don't know. You know, just have to, don't have to be a viewer poll or something.
All right. Well, thank you so much for stopping by.
Of course. Thanks for having me. Hopefully next time I have my voice, but.
Okay, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We are in Provence.
Provence.
It's beautiful.
The chateau.
Oh my god.
It is funny though, because on the Beverly Hills after show on BravoTV.com, Erica and Dorit talk about their room, and they were like, it's an attic. Like, it's a very pretty attic, but it was up 6 flights of stairs.
Right.
And like, Erica was like, I just had knee surgery. She was like, it was right. Not fun for me.
Oh my god. Well, yeah, I mean, with those kind of older buildings, you know, you're probably staying in like the servants' quarters at some point.
Right.
But it was like full Downton Abbey style. Like, it was just giving me those vibes, and I love that show so, so much. What I wanted to bring up to you is, we talked a few episodes ago about like, which drunk housewife are you? I figured out that I am, in terms of which hungover housewife am I, I'm Erica.
I'm miserable.
Are you?
Oh, honey, look at me. I'm at breakfast with sunglasses.
I just thought you were fabulous.
Well, that too.
Very,
no.
It's your
I'm like, oh.
Oh. So
when she shows up to breakfast and she's got like her sunglasses on, she's like, I feel terrible. Like, when you just, like, you don't know how you feel as bad as you do, and you don't know how to escape it.
Right.
That's my hangover these days.
Ugh.
I'm getting too old for this.
Right. Stop drinking.
Never. I also wanted to point out to you, I think Dorit was a bit of a wild child back in her day.
Why do you say that? Well, because she's really good at beer pong.
Right, exactly. That was like when they went camping, she was really, really good at beer pong, like sinking a lot of those shots, which I was pretty impressed by. And then when she was telling the story, or someone else brought up the story about how when she was 13, she stole her parents' car.
I know. Like, I want to be friends with that jury.
Right? And there was white chocolate in the back seat. you remember that part of the story?
Oh, I thought it was just chocolate.
No, it was white chocolate.
I don't know.
So her parents made some real assumptions as to what a 13-year-old was doing in the backseat of the car.
Wait, no, I don't get it.
I think you do.
At 13, she stole the family car.
You stole the family car?
Obviously, it was not supposed to be driving. Apparently, some friends of mine had eaten white chocolate in the backseat.
Uh-oh.
What do you think they suspected was in the backseat? They thought you had
What did you think about the fact that Kyle, before even telling her daughters, told the ladies that she had an eating disorder?
I was kind of surprised by that. I mean, Erica says in that scene during her interview that, you know, in this space with the five of them, she felt like it was a safe space and everyone could share things like that. So I understand why Kyle probably felt like she could open up in that moment. I'm just surprised we haven't heard about this before. It was kind of like last season of Real Housewives of New Jersey when Dolores admits that she had an eating disorder. So you really just never know what people have struggled with before. And I understand what Kyle was saying, where she was like, I didn't really want to even put that thought in my daughter's mind that this had happened to me. And then will that trigger something in them? So I was kind of surprised by it, but I understand where she was coming from.
Well, because I even think about how when Anne Hathaway lost all that weight for Les Miserables, she wouldn't talk about it in interviews because she's like, I'm not trying to give people advice on how to do this.
Right.
Like, yeah. It's not good.
Yeah, it's a trigger for people who have experienced that. So you could tell it really affected Kyle. And I think the ladies kind of all were telling her, this is probably something you should bring up to your daughters just so they know more about your life and your struggles. And many of her daughters are older at this point too, that they will probably understand, and maybe they have already dealt with their own issues that they've never even brought to her. So it could be like a really good door to open up, I think, in the family. So going into the final dinner where things get pretty awkward, the night never goes well when somebody starts high-kicking that early in the night. And we got 3 high kicks from Lisa Rinna before going into that dinner.
She's like, drunk Rinna. I was like,
here we go. And before you knew it, everything got really awkward.
I've had a couple drinks in a roadie. Drunk Rinna is here.
Woo!
Here we go.
Are you kicking your legs up already? We just got here.
Yeah, it wasn't even like volatile. It was just awkward. Like Kyle and Teddy being like, come on, Erica, weren't you offended? Come on, I know you were offended.
It was kind of bizarre to me. I didn't know where it sort of came from, like why it came up in that moment. I felt like we were already kind of past that.
Yeah. The only thing I could think of was like, did Erica say something off camera at some point? And
Did it come up in the after show at all? I don't remember.
Yeah, and Erica's just like, I still don't understand why I was supposed to be offended.
Yeah. I feel like if anyone was supposed to be offended, it would be Erica, or it would be Kyle, just because it was Kyle's sister and it was, you know, Erica character, whatever. But I think Erica as an artist and Rinna as an actor, they understand the difference and that it wasn't, you know, Teddy just, for whatever reason, couldn't wrap her head around, like, she was playing a character and, like, made a choice. And I have a lot of friends who are actors. Like, I know some of them are more of, like, the method type where they, you know, are in character and they stay that way and they've been preparing for a really long time. And Rinna talked about that. She was like, I was watching a lot of Erica videos before. I wanted to get really into character. And I think everyone was trying to be like, we think you were just using that as an excuse to make an attack, but I don't really know if that's what Rinna was doing.
My favorite, though, was Erica being like, don't bait me into this conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, she has a really good way of shutting things down.
Right. And I think we're going to see in next week's episode, the girls kind of confront her being like, we don't even know if you really like us. And I think it's just sort of like Erica has a wall, but she's always had that. And it's sort of like, why don't they just kind of accept that that's who she is? And they kept, like you said, baiting her at the dinner, trying to get her upset. And she was just like, I'm not going to be mad about this. Like, I don't know how many more ways I can say it, but I'm not upset about this situation. You guys are upset about this situation. Let it go.
Yeah. Well, and of course, we find out this episode, Camille's house burned down.
It's horrible. I can't even... Next week's episode, I think, is going to be difficult to watch because we actually see so much more of the aftermath than we've seen already.
Right.
And that's going to be tough to watch. Camille, go through that.
All right, it's time for Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Eric, what's your rose?
My rose is from the Real Housewives of Potomac, and it is the alligator boat ride that they go on. Because I love New Orleans, and that was one of the things, I've only been once, and that was one of the things that I really wanted to do, and it looked like so much fun. And just like Karen being freaked out about the alligator jumping out, and the whole experience just looked really, really amazing. What was your rose?
My rose is on Southern Charm. We finally got to hear Dani talk about her engagement that was called off.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, the wedding that did not happen at the last minute.
Right.
Because I, for so long, thought, like, she has a really interesting life that we don't hear about. So I was glad we got that info.
So true.
What was your thorn?
Well, my thorn, going back to what we were talking about earlier in the episode, is Chef Mila's anti-gay remarks.
I don't want to see a man kissing a man in front of me. Adult people. Yeah, I can't just like...
I don't mind it.
Go
it gets
do
me going.
In your home, you can guys do whatever you want. I don't want my son to be growing up and seeing two men kissing each other.
Why?
And thinking this is normal because this is not normal.
I mean... It's really crazy to think that she felt so empowered in that moment to really just like drill home her perspective, especially knowing that people in the car were getting really upset. We saw that Travis was like very shaken by this revelation. So it's just not cute, Chef Mila. I'm not into it. What was your thorn?
It was the happy birthday song on Real Housewives of Potomac.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear friends. Happy birthday to you.
Just, it was like Candace singing by herself, which was awkward, but then Ashley trying to come in and help.
But she was like trying to get the attention of everyone because nobody was paying attention.
But like it sounded terrible together. I don't know. It yeah. Just the whole thing made me feel awkward.
It was very, very cringeworthy.
And next week we're celebrating the 10-year anniversary of Watch What Happens Live. We'll be talking to Watch What Happens Live staffers about Andy Cohen, what it's like to work with him, and what it's like to be part of this iconic show.
Hey everybody, Seth Meyers here. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we release a podcast edition of Late Night. Mondays feature all original episodes like off-air conversations with me and some of my favorite guests and shows devoted to politics or musical guests. On Wednesdays and Fridays, you can catch up on the go with a closer look, comedy bits and guest segments, plus bonus backstage interviews, original comedy sketches, and more. Subscribe for free wherever you listen to podcasts.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys.